Once again, I'm very, very thankful. I'm always thankful to be with my brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. I believe it's the pinnacle of our week. And very thankful for all of His blessings. And but I'm going to save that for our testimony service, I believe, coming. And but I have a simple message and a simple thought for us to consider this morning. The source of true life, the source and well of blessing and of all life and of all existence, if you will. And Jesus Christ, He said in Alma 3:58, "Yea, He saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink the bread of the waters of life freely." If we come to Him, there's a source of life and beginning. Breathe into our nostrils the breath of life. But we need to have Him breathe into our soul the breath of life eternal. And coming to Him for the source of blessing, of spirit, of truth, of spiritual, of nourishment through his word, through His spirit, through His care, through His direction, all those things. And He has led so many throughout time and proven His existence in the hearts of men, how He has changed their minds and direction as well, along with His blessings, His power, His miracles. "But you shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely." If we didn't, on a physical sense, if we didn't eat and drink, what will happen? You're going to die. I mean, people even have, in the scriptures, we find several examples where those that have went without food and with water for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, of course, a first example. There was others, and Moses, Elijah, and so on. And people even try to say, was that possible? As if it's a human thing, which, it, yes, being human flesh, but it's spirit and power to sustain and to bless us. Okay? And people try I've seen documentaries, you have too. And say, well, gee, could they really have done it? Could the body have physically done that for 40 days and for 40 nights? And they think as if it's only the temporal, physical power that's doing the work, the sustaining and so on, but not the spirit and power and who it is that's behind it and why were they without food and without water. They were in the arms of the living God. They were in the arms of the living God. You know, I believe fully that there are things that you and I do that we are given maybe extra energy, extra thought, extra decision, extra wisdom, because you are in the arms of the living God. And you have come to the waters of life, the one that's the true giver and source. The source of the well, of all things that are truly good and of power, yet love for His children. We find an example, of course, as we look in the scriptures for the in the Old Testament, of course, of the children of Israel that come out of Egypt, and you know, they were of course murmuring, complaining all the way. No matter what the Lord did for them, they murmur and complain. You know, he fed them from manna from heaven. Jesus tells us that this is that bread which came down from heaven, that manna. "Not as our fathers did eat manna, but are dead, but he that eateth this bread shall live forever." What is he talking about there? What is that bread from heaven that if we eat of it, that we'll live forever? Jesus Christ. He is that true bread that comes from heaven. And we find that they were sustained from it. They had to go out and they had to be obedient to go out and to claim it, didn't they? And we need to step forward in faith in order to claim and place within our life the one that is the true source of life and of nourishment, that's Jesus Christ. We need to step forward in faith and faithfulness to proclaim Jesus Christ in our life, don't we? To live by Him and through Him and the Father which is in heaven. They had to physically go out. Now, they could have been sat in their tents. They could have gone out in the morning. You know, it was already gathered. Already sitting in a basket or sitting at a table. The Lord could have done it. I mean, we know it's or guess what? He could have made them so that they were never hungry. And they were always full. He could have done that, couldn't He? He could do that for us. He could have the table have the food sitting on the table as you get up in the morning and then when you come home and this and that and the other. But you know, He expects us to step out in faith. He expects us to do something. He expects us to reach out in faithfulness and effort and claim that blessing. Step out in faith that the Lord is going to provide. We need to live by faith. And the main thing is that this is proving His children. It's the evidence of the work of Christ in your life. The power of God. It's the evidence. It's how it has changed your life. How you live by Him. And Him through you. And if we do this through Jesus Christ, enduring, He said, by faith, we will live eternally to endure. You know, it's just like today. We can just about use the example that I still remember. Sister Joyce Lusson sitting right there, and she said, "You know, it's just like we could have a snow shovel. We could put it on the front porch, go back in, sit down." And say, Lord, you need to shovel off that front porch. And but you know, what we should be praying is, Lord, would you give me the strength to put my shoulder behind it, and the strength to shovel that off that, and not slip and fall while I'm doing it. And you know, maybe while I'm out there with that shovel, I can go out and help somebody else with their driveway that can't do it themselves. You know, we have to step out in faith that we have to have the energy and the wisdom in order to do what we need to do to sustain ourselves. You know, like I said, with the cold and the snow that took place yesterday, we just about were able to take care of that example, weren't we? And I realized that a few years ago, you know, I had an example that comes to mind about the snow. I had a snowblower we used up in Gaylord. I worked the living daylights out of that thing up there. It's still going strong today. But I figured I wanted a bigger one, you know. Always bigger and badder, if you will. And I found one. It happened to be right in our own town. I thought, boy, it was a good deal. It was a big one. You know, it had 10-horse motor on it, 32-inch cut and this and that. It's one so big you don't want to get the dog in the way because it gets spit out. And I thought, this is neat. But I found out the reason why it is the Lord allowed me to have that thing. I could have got by without it, you know. Could have used the other one, this and that. It just took a little bit longer. No, it's because there were those on the same street that had issues why they needed to have theirs done. And so if I do mine, I need to do another, at least four more. Good exercise for me, of course, and I need it. Lord knows. There was a fellow that had a double lung transplant just on the other side there. There's no way he could have. And so on. This fellow was leaving his family because of his postal route. He was a truck driver for the postal service, and he'd leave him in the middle of the night. This person over here is working at the elder care home. Needs to get out in order to go take care of those people. Lady down at the end, she has heart issues. And so the Lord knows these things. He provided. But we need to step out in faith. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, and we find the first example, same when the Lord is sustaining the children of Israel. And you know, once again, they're belly aching for water. Did you put us out here in the desert? Did you lead us out of Egypt in order to perish here? Did you lead us out here in order to be thirsty, to die of thirst, to die of hunger? Well, murmur and complain after all that they've seen in Egypt. You know, I know our kids in the Sunday school. Sister Joyce had come up with the idea in order to be able to put flies and lice and frogs and paper things for the kids to find around the church. You know, examples of some of the plagues that happened in Egypt. And they saw the miracle of those things in Egypt. They saw how the Lord led them out. And still they complained. They complained. Not realizing they're hard and hard and hard at heart. And are we guilty of the same thing though sometimes? We have seen. I have heard your testimonies. You've heard mine. About the power of God that has brought you to this very moment in this church, in those pews, of healings in your families or within yourselves, or blessings and miracles, protection and care. Are we guilty when things sometimes get a little tough of the murmuring, complaining? Are we guilty of that? Good question, isn't it? But who did, Book of Mormon really clearly declares Jesus Christ, saying that, yes, I am the Holy One of Israel. Yes, I led my servant Moses. I led the people and so on. And as we see in 1 Corinthians 10:4, they did all drink that same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ, caring for his covenanted people. You know, the Mount Sinai that they coin, they think it's it, by the St. Catherine's Monastery, I think it is, over there in the Sinai Desert, that they think that that's the real Mount Sinai. The book of Galatians tells us where Mount Sinai is. It's Mount Agar, and it's in Saudi Arabia. Okay? El Jabul El Waz is the name of the mountain. And men have taken a look at it. It's a very high security military site. Okay, you have a hard time getting it. People thought there's a book called The Gold of Exodus, and for certain reasons, they thought there was still gold left over and it would be on that mountain. So they were looking for it and trying to get into this security site, and they thought they were being real slick, getting under the fence and this, that, and the other, and nobody's around, and this and that. And they're looking up and around this mountain, and it did. What would be an identifier of the top of this mountain? Can anybody tell me one thing would be an identifier if you were on the right mountain? It would be charred black. The fire of the Lord descended upon that mountain, and it would be charred black for one thing. And it was. And they did find near there, the looks like it would be an aqueduct for this spring of water, if you will. And of course, there are stones placed around. There are markers around this mountain. The Lord said, "You will not come past this. You or any beast will not come past this." The Lord is going to sanctify His people. He's going to come down and descend into fire. And if they come up past those markers, they would perish. But there were the identifiers for that mountain. The scriptures tell us, like I said, where it was. In 1 Nephi 3, 63 through 65, we find, the example of the tree of life. And Lehi come to the tree of life, and he followed. There was a rod of iron, the example of the word of God, to partake of the fruit of the tree of life. And knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And this is Nephi wanting to know, and did see the same tree and the same example. And I answered him, saying, it is the love of God which setteth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is the most desirable above all things. The love of God is desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and most joyous to the soul. Once again, the source, the power, and the love, and it's desirable. But you know, there are people who don't understand. They don't know that. They haven't tasted that. They haven't investigated the love and the power and the salvation. And will walk in rebellion throughout this life. There will be people that will do that. Many. Jesus said so. If he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, right? He already said so. And he said, narrow is the path that leadeth unto eternal life. And few there be that find it. Not my words. These are the words of Christ himself. But the love of God being desirous, the source. And through that love that he will save his children. It's open to all men. The invitations to all men to be saved. He would that none should perish, but all should come unto repentance. But it takes obedience. It takes faithfulness to come and to partake of the fruit of the tree and also the waters of life and the bread of life. We need to exhibit this faithfulness and obedience. In 1 Kings, in the... oh my goodness. I think I got the chapter wrong. 3 and through 6. Well, the story of Elijah. I probably made it broad. But regardless, that... I think I clear it up in the next frame. And of course, we know the story of Elijah. And this is very one we've learned from our Sunday school. And where Elijah was hiding from, basically from the king. Well, they were going to kill him. King Ahab and his famous wife that people probably know more than they do Ahab. What was his wife's name? What was King Ahab's wife's name? When we want to call some lady a treacherous person, a lady, what would they call her? Jezebel. That's right. Oh, you Jezebel, you know. She was treacherous and so on. And she was going to pay for that, for slaying the servants of the Lord, you know. But anyway, this is after the time when he performed a famous miracle upon a mountain. On a mountain. And it didn't really mention that, but on a high place. He performed a miracle in order to be able to prove, or that he was not going to prove, but God was going to show himself against the prophets of Baal. And this is where the sacrifice was put. He laid it out, the time of the evening sacrifice. They poured barrels of water upon it, and fire rained down out of heaven. But then the prophets of Baal were taken and they were disposed of. And because of Ahab and Jezebel's displeasure, they came after Elijah's life. And they said, you go and flee over to the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And he sat there and he says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And so he took him to a place of sustainment. And he was obedient. You know something? That God was going to take care of him. He was obedient that, you know, he had no reason to doubt him because of all along the way being, Elijah was a man. He was a man that was obedient and able to be used in order to deliver the word of the Lord. But he needed to continue in his obedience, just as we. And also trust. Do we trust that God is going to take care of us? This is a very simple example, isn't it? I have heard your testimonies of mysterious money that showed up in mailboxes in order to be able to take care of bills that were overdue or to take care of situations. I know I could tell you testimonies in my own life, in my own family. And you can too in yours, being taken care of because you were faithful. And you trusted that God would do that because He sees and knows your needs. If He clothes the grass and the lilies of the field and takes care of the fowls of the air and took care of Elijah, He will take care of us. It's not that we won't be tested or once in a while or tried. That we may be tempered, that we may be strengthened, that we may be matured in His gospel. You know, there may be certain lessons that we need to learn. We may be just as a little child and lost some of our ways, but we need to mature in maybe certain concepts of the gospel in order to be more resilient in life and stronger for the way ahead, for the path ahead. It's just like Elijah here when he had to go to the Mount of the Lord. He went into Mount Horeb. And basically at the end of his, I'm not going to say the word career, but his calling on this earth, that he was sleeping under a juniper tree, and an angel of the Lord came to him and he says, "Arise. There's a cake on that rock right there and a cruse of water, and I want you to eat that. Because I got somewhere for you to go. And the journey is too great for you." So he did. And this happened twice. He says, there's some water and there's another cake baking there. I want you to eat it because the journey is too great for you. And he continued on that. And he went into the Mount of God, Mount Horeb. The Mount of God, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And he needed to be able to, and the Lord came by in a great wind and a great earthquake to proclaim His majesty, His might, and His strength. Just like every once in a while, we need to be reminded of His majesty and His strength, that we may reverence Him and that we are also humbled and realize that He is God. We also need to learn what our limitations, you know, learn. God knows what our weaknesses and strengths are, doesn't He? It's just like when the angel was feeding his physical body, he knew how long he could last physically, and this, you know, and he'd been going through quite a many trials, many things Elijah was called to do. Now there are many other prophets that maybe we don't have quite all the records about. They've done great things as well. Isaiah. But they all suffered for their prophecies. But here he was taking care of it. But guess what? The brook also dried up. And so the Lord had also prepared the way ahead once again. And he was sent to a widow, it is said. She had a son. This is 1 Kings 17, 9 through 13. And I have to, then once again, the previous reference, if you're writing down, I'm sure it was 1 Kings 17 because it was just before this. Okay? And this is where the lady was also called to step into the arms of faith. Had prepared her there. She just had a handful of meal in the barrel and a little bit of cruise or water in or oil in the cruise. And he said, "I want you to bake me a cake first. And then one for you and your son. And assuredly as the Lord God is, the meal in the barrel and the oil in the cruse will not fail." Because she says, "You know, I've just got a little bit here, and when we eat that, my son and I are going to go die. We're gathering sticks here to make a fire. We're going to bake that cake, and after that, we're going to die." And he says, "This will not happen. Have faith." We are called to have that great faith. You know, having faith and deciding and living through Jesus Christ in your life, you're making life-clinching decisions. You are deciding even financially. Christian principles and even your financial life, stepping out in the arms of faith in many ways in your life. Guiding temporally. Most importantly, spiritually. You are deciding through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in our life, that meal barrel will not fail, nor the oil in the cruse. And I believe that has a lot of similarities to those virgins of the last day that are going to go out to meet the Lord. And they needed oil in their lamps. But that oil of obedience and preparation and spirit and truth, we live by faith unto endurance, will not fail. God will take care of us. Doesn't mean we won't have trials. And just like Elijah. And then when we are through with the tasks that he gives us, it's just like Elijah. He may ask a little more. Because he said after, you know, he was in the mount and so on, he says, I want you to go anoint Hazael to king of Syria. I want you to take a light to anoint Elisha to be a prophet in your room. Okay? He's going to ask a little bit more. Why? That we may be strengthened. To build our strength, our endurance. But it just shows us, too, that after we're finished with the task that he gives us, he may ask a little more. Maybe to do a little something for somebody else around you. Or to give that word of witness or of testimony to someone else when you're not really think you're prepared for it and called out of your element. Being in your bathrobe and slippers, possibly, or hair unkempt, or in your work clothes, to deliver the word of testimony or to be obedient. Not that I'm anyone of great example, but I've been at work and I've had people, they called me from out of state, and they said, "You need to go to the hospital and to go to minister to my daughter there." I said, "Can you wait till I go home? I'll get some better clothes." They said, "No. Her life is on the line right now. Can you go now?" I says, "Well, I'll be in my work clothes." So he called and he told the sister to the daughter there, "There's a man coming. He's going to minister to her. But he's not going to look like a traditional minister. He's going to be in his work clothes, and they may not be very pristine. But he is a minister of the Lord." So you step into the arms of faith. You do what you need to do. There is no shame. There is no embarrassment. It's the power of God. You know, Elijah was no pristine man. They said that he was a hairy man, and he had this leathern girdle and so on. And not very kempt, I'm sure. And they didn't have showers and waysides and rest stops. No. But whatever the Lord told him would come to pass. And this lady also was called to step into the arms of faith. We find that when we do walk contrary to His will, we don't have the benefit of His Spirit and His counsel, His blessing, and His protection. And it's just like we find the example, the center picture. We have a young man that came to Jesus and he says, "I'm going to follow you wherever you go." Jesus, perceiving his lifestyle, he said, "You know, I want you to sacrifice." It's basically what he says. "I want you to sacrifice. I want you to go to sell what you have. And then you come back and follow me." That young man went away sorrowful because he had a lot of things. A lot of things. You know, we don't know the future, you and I. And we may be called to walk away from the things that we have. But most importantly, are they in your life where you would share them? Do you have them to share them or have them to covet them, the things that you have? Are you willing to help people with them? Are they there as tools? Or are they there to treasure, to polish, once again, to covet? We must be careful of these things. But yet, and when we come to the end of our strength and the end of our rope, just like the picture of Christ holding us up, that He will be there. He's the true source of strength. If we're faithful, we've acknowledged Him in our life, and we're living by Him. The bottom one, I know the print is not so big, but it shows Jesus with His sheep. You know, as He told His disciples, I love the example when He told His disciples, "I don't call you servants, but I call you friends. Do you know what I'm doing?" And we know what He's doing. We know what He's about in His gospel, His plan, and His design for us. About being a servant, we choose that. We yield ourselves servants to obey. 1 John 3:1-6. "That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And then is the message which we have heard Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie." We do not the truth. You know, and it's a powerful scripture. And each of us need to decide and do a little soul searching, life searching. Be careful that we're not holding out we're not walking in some darkness or outside His pasture or thinking that we can handle this or that when we really shouldn't be, and shouldn't be taking fire into our bosom, and that we may be burned. That's true. People think they can walk away. You know, I'll come back someday. I'll come back. It's okay right now. I'm gone for a while, Lord. But I'll be back someday. We must be very careful. But our fellowship with the Father, this is an example of the prodigal son. And he knew. I believe he knew his father's love in the beginning, and he went out, see? And he went out to do some riotous living and this and that. He knew the love of the Father. He knew where he could go back to. We must retain that remembrance. Because you know the love of the Father, you go do whatever you feel like. And then it's okay. It's covered. Sin still matters. And there's sin and there's repentance too. Or forgiveness. The Lord will forgive us, true. Let's just say that you stole from the store. It's a sin. Stealing is a sin, right? Okay. "Lord, please forgive me that I stole from that store." Yep, He'll forgive you if your heart is right. But repentance is another matter. It's got a hold of you. Remember, there's teeth in the other end if you pull the tail of the tiger. And repentance, the law still requires that you pay for that. You're still going to have to pay some time in jail, just like robbing the bank. The Lord will forgive you for that, but guess what? The state of Michigan is still going to hold you accountable. They're not going to listen to your forgiveness from the Lord. You may forgive, you may be sincere about it, but you're still going to have to pay, and repentance can be hard. We can go out there and think that we can do whatever we feel like. We'll be forgiven. Repentance and the wages of sin can come real hard. We could have gone through the furnace of affliction when we were out there, of course, as well, too. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And there's a young man that's across the seas or on the other side of the world right now. And I'm trying to, I know he's poorly. His job is not very well, but he's doing okay. And he's making, getting by, but he's always stressed out about it. And I know that he lives in a poor area. And I can't know, you know, all of his stresses. He's trying to exempt them to me, but I'm trying to, you know, the Lord wants us to be content with such things as we have. And let the Lord bless you. And because he keeps using the thing, I want money, and this and that. And it's a very, you hear that a lot. And they're very honest, out forthright about their needs. I need this. Of course, they think that because you live in America that you have all that and you can give all that, you know. And I tell him to step into the arms of faith. And Lord, bless him with that new job that he needs. He wants to come here to the United States. He wants to come live with me. He wants me to find him a job. You know. No, he's not listening. He doesn't have that capability. Anyway, he doesn't have the link. But he's a good man. He's a wonderful family, and I keep trying to remind him of all the blessings that he does have. And in James, in the third chapter, 10-11. We got to be careful that out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No, it's not really, that can't be. And it won't be bitter water. If you don't have good water, you're barren. You're barren of the truth, and you're barren of the waters of life. The Spirit is not working in you. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're fulfilling lusts of the flesh, if you will. And we're letting our tongue get away from us and proclaim things that should not be in our heart. We're not drinking of the true well. We're not basking in the Spirit, if the way I say that. But to let the Spirit, or if we were in a condition of humility and humbleness, to let the Spirit move and direct our lives. There will be words of sweetness and of praise and thanksgiving. It won't be sweet nor bitter. It will either be you have the waters of life or you are barren. You're barren and unfruitful of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is dried up. And we're not being moved by the Spirit when we walk contrary to His ways. In Moroni, 7th chapter, 5th verse. Behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. You know, those proclaiming and need a plaque for donations out there. They need their name plastered all over things. You know, the Scripture tells you, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Offer gift or prayeth unto God. And it tells about praying. Yeah, we pray together. We're praying together in here. And we have seasons of prayer. And this is a wonderful, beautiful thing. And also scriptural. But to pray, to be seen of men. Where's your heart? Where's your design? And there are personal prayers, I believe, that belong in our closets. There are that personal and that heartfelt. There are things that we declare that are to be between God Himself and you. There are things so precious and so personal. They should be between you and God Himself. And we want them to profit. We want God to hear us. We want Him to answer our prayers, don't we? Absolutely. So what we do in life, you know, we don't need, or should we ask for a parade? We don't need a parade. We don't need to be seen of men. We don't need to take an ego trip. That's not what it's about at all. God alone is to be exalted in His majesty, reverencing Him in our humility. The world's spirit of entertainment seeks to mask our need of water and bread of life, to tell us we are temporarily satisfied and fed and cared for. Everything seems to be at our fingertips, doesn't it? And especially when we do live in a land of plenty, and where we don't have money, the government will even take care of many. Okay? And it seems to want to take care of all our needs. Our political candidates and whomever want to promise this, that, and the other to take care of you. When they're doing that, it's, you know, when the government's doing all the work, that's called socialism. That's not freedom. Freedom is when we're truly taking care of ourselves and through the power of the Almighty. But the world's entertainment out there, even calling in a lot of, I'm not going after particular denominations, but there are Christian circles out there that think that entertainment is worship. Now, yes, we need to have music. We know that's a wonderful and a beautiful thing and a talent of the Lord. But when that seems to be all that there is, we have those out there that want to have to divide within the power of the adversary the age groups, that they have services for the older generation and services for the younger ones. And dividing into classes. Is that right? Very powerful. I heard when I was in growing up in for I could start to understand and to listen and so on, that I enjoyed and I received powerful messages and learning and so on from services such as this today. And you can't tell me in any way, shape, or form that the little babies that come in here, little Daniel, is not receiving something yet today by the Spirit of the Lord. Not whatsoever. The Scriptures tell us there were babes that received and also opened, their mouths are open and spoke marvelous things. There are testimonies that I heard about even histories and miracles and blessings from years and generations past because of the source of life and the power and the love through Christ. And how people were taken. But today we've tried to be entertained. And telling us that they're sustained, you know, that because they have enough and we don't have any need of God. We don't have any need of these things. And don't need to be submissive to His power and His omnipotence, His sovereign will in our life, His sovereignty. The world's so-called knowledge seeks to take the place and wisdom that comes for God. Now, in 1 Corinthians, I'd like to turn there, 1 Corinthians 1 and 25, just one verse there. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And how true that is. Because we have bastions of great learning, to learn great so-called worldly smarts or education, this and that. But it's also sought to take people away from God who has true wisdom. When we come to Christ or come back to Jesus, we realize that we what we are missing in life. When people drift off, maybe into, like Lehi talked about, mists of darkness, dark and forbidden paths, depending upon, you know, when we reject the Spirit of the Lord, what's left? Our own energy, our own intellect, you know, and that's all you've got to rely on. He's calling for you. You know something? We can put ourselves so far out there. We can brush off His Spirit, and His voice becomes fainter and fainter. He says, my Spirit will not always strive with man. We can put ourselves out there and we can reject the Spirit of the Lord, you know, like water off a duck's back. When we come to Christ, or we come back to Jesus, we realize what we are missing in this life and realize that we really were thirsty. We really were hungry. And we really need the Spirit and the truth and the love and the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. He says, I speak this to your shame. There are many that don't have the knowledge of God or rejected the knowledge of God. They walk away from it. They hear it. They endure for a little while, just like the seed that's planted. And by, it's choked out. The world can choke it out. Ether 5, 28 through 29. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men. His grace and his mercy for sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. We need to step out to acknowledge His sovereignty, His will, His power, His love, to humble ourselves because He is the source of our very life. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. Just like the Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, I am strong. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And as we also read in the Book of Mormon, that charity is the pure love of Christ. And so the fountain of righteousness is already through Jesus Christ and His Father, that we can also have this faith, hope, and charity. So it is coupled, but the source and the fountain is through Jesus Christ. 2 Nephi 6 and 42, but behold the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And their joy shall be full forever. That is precious and powerful. And those which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, through Jesus Christ, they've endured crosses or hardships or trials or temptations. They haven't given into them or rejected them or worked their way out of it, you know. It's just like the picture showing Christ holding up the fellow. He may have been enveloped in temptations and trials. And the Lord holding him up because he still wants to remain faithful, but he's struggling. And people can struggle. But despising the shame of those things, coming out of them, and strengthening themselves and repentance. And so, I thank you for your love and for your prayers, and that we be continually drinking from the fountain and eating of the bread of life.